The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the present National Rugby League.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old.
They shall not weary them, nor the years condemn.
At the going down of the sun.
And in the morning.
We will remember them.
Lest we forget.
Lest we do forget. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. We can call this round seven, but it's really just, they just always call this the Anzac sort of round generally, don't they? So that's what we might as well call
it.
Yeah,
that's right. And it's a little, to me, I think it's a little disappointing that, you know, that's, we don't have a test match in the middle of the year. Do you know what I mean? Like I've always liked that tradition. Do you know what I mean? Of having, you know, even if it's next week, you know, having the Anzac test. Australia versus New Zealand, but we got some competitive football this week.
Yeah, we did. So we'll get straight into the games. First game was a Thursday night, as always. The Panthers, look, taking care of business against the Knights, 24-6.
I think Newcastle just definitely to start this game off very ill-disciplined and giving Penrith, I think, as much possession as what they did. For them to only be down 10-6 at halftime is, I guess, a little bit of a testament to Newcastle sort of showing a little bit more grit and resilience than what they've shown previously. But, yeah, the discipline was just, it was way out the window at the start of this game. Like, you know, early in the last, in the first 10 to 12 minutes, they gave away like four set restarts. And yeah. If you don't have the ball, you don't have a massive chance against Penrith the way that they're playing at the moment. But if you don't have the ball and you're constantly defending, then you simply just give yourself no chance at the end of the game.
I felt that while you're right, there was 10-6 and they looked competitive in that. I felt they have, and it clearly can show just on their stats, that they weren't competitive in terms of going forward. Like their forward pack, you know, if I probably remove Clemmer and Saifidi because they weren't too bad, but the rest of the four pack really just didn't do much. It was effortless. What they go for really wasn't there at all with their Newcastle's forward pack.
And you can always count on, you know, Clemmer and Saifidi, and, you know, to a lesser extent, you know, Tyson Frizzell has been fairly good this year as well. But, you know, the guys that they really needed to sort of to step up, but, you know, Mitch Barnett, you know, they're missing Fitzgibbon, they're missing Lachlan Fitzgibbon like big time in that forward pack, because Connor Watson he's a nice ball playing half, but when the going gets tough and you need those tough sort of runs, he's simply just not a big enough lock forward to be able to get you out of trouble.
And they had pretty good, he only got 40 minutes, but I don't understand why they couldn't put him on the bench, because he can play a lot of places, Connor Watson, put Jacob Saifidi there, because he would have been not too bad. He's a bit of a, like, he would have been pretty handy in the lock. He didn't have many runs himself, but he got some meters out of it.
He can kick the ball too.
I don't get Connor Watson. I don't think they really know what to do with Connor Watson.
No, they don't know. And that's the problem. They don't know what to do with Connor Watson. They know he has to be in the 17 somewhere, but it's extremely unfortunate. You know, he's a victim of his own, you know, sort of being that utility type player where he's a jack of all trades. You know, you can fit him into a lot of different positions. You know, he can play in the halves, he can play fullback. He can play number nine. They've got him in the forwards now, sort of essentially as a middle forward. So that's a tough sort of position for him. But it is what it is.
I still think he can still have a go at the 5'8". I'm not completely sold on Kurt Mann, and personally, I think he runs the ball very well. I think he runs the ball very well.
But that's the thing. But there's not a lot of versatility with him.
Creativity. No. So I mean, we're looking at the other side of Panthers. Can anybody at all stop Brian Toto? Because that is ridiculous.
Brisbane gave it a good go a couple of weeks ago.
And it seemed to work, and he got smashed, and he still got over 200 metres. In this game, he got 336 metres.
Just
my
insane.
God. He has a motor I've not seen for a long time. Because if you do that kind of runs, 28 runs for that amount, and play 80 minutes, like that, he's on a different type of motor. He really is.
That's hard yakka. That's rough going.
Oh, not for him, clearly. No, it'd be rough going.
No, but that sort of effort, you simply just can't put in that kind of effort week after week after week. Like that's too much.
But he doesn't seem to be gassed too much, and by the looks of it, that's what they want him to do. It sort of comes across like that, at least.
Yeah.
Like that's what they see him as, just a person that just will take all these runs. I mean, look, you could go through and look at their forward pack. We know we were talking about forward pack. I know he's tripled a few of them, but, you know, it's amazing the workload he gets through. It's amazing.
That's right. And usually when you get inflated, you know, run meters like that, then you've had a couple of line breaks. But he only had the one line break as well.
Correct.
So, you know, those are some tough meters that he's doing there, and the run meters, you know, from everybody with Penrith were unbelievable. Like, you know, even the sprinkling of guys that they had on the bench, you know, Eisenhuth and Tyrone May, those sorts of guys, but their power is through that, you know, through those middle forwards and that starting, you know, that starting forward pack that they've got out there on the field. Like, Kikau had 171 metres, like, off 14 runs. He's just a terror.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. He's a terror. I thought just with this game in particular, and it's sort of come out, I guess, Matt Burton in the centres there. I mean, I thought he was a 5'8", and he can clearly kick, but he's pretty handy in that centre position.
No, that's the thing. And then I think they're beginning to realize too that he's in the same, you know, we're just talking about Connor Watson, that they're in, you know, in that sort of situation where we know he has to be in our 17 somewhere. And, you know, they've obviously struck gold with having him out in the centers at the moment. He's killing it.
He is killing it.
Another try, a beautiful forward pass by Jerome Luai.
Well, that's true. That's not
was
Matt
it not,
Burton's
was,
fault.
Was, I thought no, that it was. Was a pretty. I thought that was a pretty easy forward pass call. But anyway, we had we had some real interesting decisions this weekend just in regards to that. A very obvious offside call that I thought in the Cowboys Canberra game, and you know we had a few sin binnings this round as well.
You're right there. Yeah, we had a few sin binnings of this round. I don't know. It just perplexes me how we can rule on every single other little thing, except, and they call it back, and they have, even when they call the try, they can rule on everything but a forward pass. I don't get it.
No, it's got to be some sort of way that it can be ruled upon. I don't know what that is.
The reason I say is because technically, of everything else, you see knock-ons, you see knock-ons. You see drop balls, you see drop balls. A forward pass is even grey in the area for a referee and a touch judge, because not, you know, I want to say 9 times out of 10, but 7 times out of 10, they're not directly in line with that forward pass, so they're only going up their angle.
That's right. So, and even if they're on the sidelines, sometimes it's the far touch judge that might be in line with it. So they're trying to look 50 meters across field, and it's hard to judge.
And he might see it going exactly. It is hard to judge. This is why you have thousands of cameras. But he might see it float forward, but he's not seeing the hands go back.
No, that's right. And all the stuff they try and simplify it too much. Of simply, he threw it on the 10 meter line, and the other player caught it, you know, half a meter in front of the 10 meter line. It's not that simple. It's momentum that's going forward. You have a look at any backwards pass if you got two guys that are running at full tilt. So if somebody, if they're running at full tilt, if, say, if a player passes it on the 50-meter line, the person who's running beside him, even though he's going to be behind the player who's passed the ball, will catch the ball in front of where the player passed it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know what I mean? They want to totally simplify it down and just simply go, oh, yeah, no, it was passed from here. It was caught in front there. So it's simply a forward pass. And it's just not like that.
No, that's exactly right. But, yeah, no, that was – sorry, you mean scaling back. That was a blatant forward pass. I saw it as well. So, look, Penrith –
I thought they were pulling it back straight away, and it's just like, no, they're not even bothering, and they're just going straight to blowing a try. It's like, okay, cool. It's not as if Penrith needs a leg up in any game.
That's
Do you
exactly
know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they don't need help from the referees to get wins.
No, they don't. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're still winning pretty good, and they're slowly becoming – I mean, there's a few teams, but I think they're becoming more – I know they're favourites, but they are becoming that team, but they're very, very hard to beat. So next game, the Friday game, the 70 points. The Rabbitohs beat the Titans. It's a pretty healthy crowd, but it was 40-30. Oh, my God, 40 to 30, 30, 70 points.
That was just – I listened to this game on the radio, and it just went back and forth, you know, punches thrown by the Gold Coast, and then all of a sudden the Rabbitohs get back into it. And then it was, you know, just within the last 10 minutes, the Gold Coast put on three tries, two tries to Fifita, and it just – He's the form forward of the competition, is he not?
No, he is. No, he went in. No. He went in the first half. They went in 24-10 because he went in with a hat trick.
He had a first half hat trick, but I'm just talking about the two tries basically within 3 minutes of each other. You know, 30th minute, 33rd minute, like those two tries were unbelievable. So, and then the try before half time, basically a 100-meter effort.
Yeah.
With Corey Thompson and then Jamal Fogarty backing him, but that was an unbelievable try. And just to hear, to have 17,000 people in the stands at the Gold Coast, to have that happen and to hear that loud cheer is so good to hear.
Their biggest problem is they didn't want to go to halftime because they were 24-10 up, and they didn't.
No way.
Their other big problem in that game, and this is where it sort of let them down, is the penalties that they gave away were two in, like, you know, three penalty goals from Adam Reynolds were two. Not that they were, yeah, they gave away the penalties, but they were cheap penalties in kickable areas. And it screwed them a lot.
Defending their own line, you know, defending in their own half. But it was the same thing as the way that Newcastle started off the Friday the Thursday game.
Yeah.
The Gold Coast started off the second half. Oh, horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah.
They were giving away restart after restart, giving away penalties. And like you said, you know, those three penalty goals by Reynolds, especially, you know, obviously two of them were inside the last 5 minutes to essentially shut the game out. And those two penalties that were at the end of it were just dumb. Just, you know, as much as I don't like, you know, not very fond of Gus Gould, but dumb by Mo Fonawaker. They were ridiculous. Just totally killed. The Gold Coast was still in this game up to their eyeballs.
Correct.
You know,
up
only
until
being down 6 points.
Even down, yeah, with the Alex Johnson try, you're right, up until they were ill-disciplined around the penalty area, and it screwed them big time.
And that was the other thing, too. The Gold Coast just got murdered down their left-hand edge.
Yeah.
Just murdered down their left-hand edge. Philip Sammy was horrible defensively, shooting out of the line every time. He just didn't learn. And then they would get between him and Brian Kelly, and you're like, what the hell are you doing? He's just leaving Brian Kelly out on an island, and then everybody has to slide to get over and cover for his ridiculous mistake by shooting up out of the line and then missing the tackle. It was ridiculous to see.
I seen the same thing. I was trying to work out because of Fifita's workload he got through. I don't think it was him on that side. I was trying to work out which second row was on that side to
No, it's on the opposite side of the field. It was Kevin Proctor, getting on the outside of him. It's getting towards Ash Taylor, you know, that side of the field. You're getting in between the 5'8" center and wing. So you're taking out the forward out of that equation if they're not sliding properly. But
correct.
Like I said, if with Philip Sammy just shooting out of the line so often and just leaving everybody else in the lurch, you're never going to be able to cover that. Especially against a good side like South, and they did. I thought their positional changes in this game were a little, Wayne Bennett genius. Putting Cody Walker back at 5'8", from 5'8" to fullback, putting Johnston back out on the wing. You know, bringing Marshall into the side
into like, the 5'8".
It was
he
beautiful.
Started center, but then he moved into the 5'8".
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, it was beautiful.
Yeah, and Cody didn't seem to mind or anything like that because that was the first thing I was thinking when I seen him.
He looked all right at fullback.
Yeah, he's not.
I didn't mind it at all. I thought he might have been a bit suspect.
If I remember
under
earlier.
The high ball.
I think so. Yeah,
I thought he was fine.
Yeah, and no, I thought it was fine too, which is good for him. Obviously, coming up to Origin, that he is very versatile. He can be versatile.
That's what they'll.
That was just a Wayne Bennett genius move, really. So.
Just thinking outside the box, like who would think to put Cody Walker fullback when you've got, you know, essentially a ready-made guy there in Alex Johnston who's filled in at fullback multiple times and done a very good job.
Yeah, but it clearly wasn't working. And I haven't looked at the team list for this week, but I've got a funny feeling
he's named Cody Walker again at fullback.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
he's actually named him. He won't have the 6 on his back. He'll have the 1 on his back.
Yeah. Okay. I was gonna say because that was sort of decided late, but about okay.
Those things were obviously after the teams are named on Tuesday.
No, you're right. Yeah, Cody Walker
must have made the call on those on either Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, it's exactly how the game played out. Cody Walker is playing the Raiders Thursday, so Cody Walker is playing fullback. Marshall's 5'8", Johnson's on the wing, and Johnson's great on the wing. Johnson's really good.
Exactly. He's a professional try scorer. He's like Brett Morris.
He is like Brett Morris. next Friday game was up in Darwin, actually. The Eels hammering the Broncos 46-6. And look, we'll talk about the Broncos later. As well. Probably must have talked about Broncos. But, this was just a hammerthon. I switched it off. I knew this was going nowhere real quick.
I had to go to work early Saturday morning, so as soon as Parramatta sort of ran in those couple of tries at the start of the second half, it's like, all right, I get to go to bed early.
I mean, I say it a lot when new coaches come on, and this year there's a lot of new coaches, except for Maguire. I'm sure we'll talk about the Tigers later, but he's inherited this team. He's not going to leave this year.
It's not his fault.
Correct.
That he's got this horrendous roster. It's the guy who is currently coaching the best team in the league. That's his former roster.
That's exactly right. And even Seabold to a pinch had a little bit of this, but that's you're right. That's Bennett's team in the Ashes there. That is Bennett's team.
I mean, I could say technically, the
whole Jack Bird thing, like, you didn't know what you were going to get out of him, so I get why you sort of why you made him leave, because he was injured riddled than that. But I don't know.
He seems to be holding up this year.
Oh, he's doing well. He wouldn't be in the side because there's so many, but he's on the Origin fringes. That's how well he's been playing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's unfortunate. There's about 9,000 New South Wales centres and fullbacks in that.
And the funny thing is that New South Wales, I think there's only going to be one true center that's going to be named, and that's Zach Lomax.
Yeah.
Everybody else in that back line.
And he probably won't even make the side, which would be crap, but you're right. It'll be like a Zach
line. Every person in that back line is going to be a fullback.
Or a 5'8". Yeah, true. Oh, you're right. It's ridiculous. But anyway, our boy Papali'i didn't, you know, he was okay.
Oh,
he got a try and all that.
He's
a wrecking ball. But it was the other wrecking ball. It was Mike Acevo that was just terrorizing the Brisbane team.
That's right, yeah. Seymour got into his bag.
After that first minute where he looked like I thought he was knocked out. I thought, holy hell, something happened. And then
you see him sort of come up holding his arm and his wrist as well. And even after the second try that he scored, he come up sort of holding his forearm and you're like, oh my God, like he's still, you know, is he still hurt? Is he still got this same arm injury? But he's not getting taken off. And then he pulls off a hat trick for this game. just Brisbane, they were just diabolical. Just being pulled apart in every facet of the game, whether it's up the middle. And they've got such a good forward pack that
they do.
The only person who's basically pulling their weight in that forward pack and pulling more than his weight is Payne Haas.
Payne Haas, that's right. He's the only one. He did that last year as well. He did the same thing last year, Payne Haas. He's like,
how much do you think that's weighing on him? That he's just like, man, oh, am I the only one doing any work around here?
I'm not in it this year, but I remember last year he was a buddy. Payne Haas was a fantasy god because he just racked up the stats, and he does 80 minutes, which is rare for a front rower of his size.
And that's the one thing I don't really like about that.
I remember you saying this last year. I don't like it either personally, but.
It's the same sort of philosophy with Taumalolo. They sort of want quality rather than quantity. But guys like that who have got a motor on them, you've got to take advantage of it while it's there. Do you know what I mean? You just simply can't have them off the field for too long, especially in a struggling side, because you take him out of there and then you essentially your odds go that they just plummet. They absolutely plummet. Yeah, Tevita Pengai Jr., once again, 67 metres. 67 run metres off 12 hit-ups. Like, that is just absolutely not good enough.
I think I don't know if it was before this game, but I do remember him saying after this game, Kevy Walters, that he shouldn't say 18 because I think Payne Haas is the only one doing anything there, but he said every player is in his crosshairs. He's not happy with any player. He doesn't want to play with any of those players next year. We're along those lines.
He has wielded the axe again with team selections. Now he's turfed Dearden and Croft, has he not? And he's brought Milford back in.
We'll talk about them later. But yeah, you're exactly right.
Like I get he's got to try and do something and try and find the right combinations. But boy, is he's pulling the trigger early.
I think the Dearden thing sounds like
the Dearden thing is definitely not form related.
No, that's not form related at all. Yeah, we'll talk about Dearden later because you're the one taking him later next year. So, we'll talk about it. There's a lot to say with that one. Next game is the Bulldogs. I said to someone the Bulldogs would win. This will be their win. It pisses me off, but they won. Yes, 18-12. Oh, my God. Against the Sharks. I did say it to you because I said it's Josh Henne. Josh Henne did this at the end of the last year. We won hardly any games, and he's now 0-2 in this one. So, yes, stupid Josh Henne. I'm blaming everything. He was nearly my dud of the week just for that.
Nothing. Yeah, I know.
I know. It's not
the thing is, too, like it was the Bulldogs just come out and just started like a house of fire.
Yeah, they did.
And they ended up, being able to hold on, to a lead. But for just the way that Cronulla, how many times did they want to get denied tries? Was there six disallowed tries that they had? Three of them by Hirotti?
Yes.
And then he finally got over in the last 5 minutes. But they just could not get a break. And granted, the tries that were all disallowed were all 100% justifiable.
Correct.
So as if they got dudded out of these tries, they were all justifiable and the correct call.
And you know the shit thing about that, and you can't read too much into. That's why I thought that you can't read too much into their completion rate, because the completion rate is low. Because technically, if you're doing that on the third, fourth, or fifth, well, maybe not the fifth, sorry, but the third or fourth, when they're trying to go to those tries and they're disallowed, then that's technically not completed sets. So
that's right, yeah.
But they, Yeah, but I think Bulldogs finally just it seemed and you could look at the emotions on least Trent Barrett's face. It seemed that they were cohesive, especially like you said in the first 20 minutes when they scored all their tries.
Yeah,
man,
right.
They looked like a cohesive unit. Will Hopewadi seemed to do something for once. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was one of his better games of the year. He's been a little quiet and disappointing this year, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, he has. I don't think he's signed there for next year, if I remember. But he was great in this game. He was really good in this game, actually. I think he ended up playing. Did he end up playing on the wing? I think I remember, because they put Meaney back on the.
I think they had a bit of a reshuffle in that back line for a bit.
I think so. I think Meaney was there, and then he sort of I was on the wing, and then they moved. I think Kotrick played a lot of fullback, if I remember correctly. But Will Hopewadi. I'm not out on him. I guess I am. I think he's not what he was anymore.
Yeah. He's reached his peak.
How old is he now? 28. Yeah, okay. So he's not.
No, and that's the thing. Like, he's still got plenty of football left in him, but he's definitely not going to be reaching that representative height, I don't think, anytime soon.
I think it went down from when it went. They said, you know, when he said he's not playing Sunday, I think it was Sunday games.
Yeah, that's right.
Ever since he said that, I've not seen him play good since he said that.
He changed his tune on that pretty quick.
Yeah, no choice. Can't play footy on a Sunday, which is the most times that they were playing in Sydney. My God, anyway.
Look, I thought the way that the Bulldogs sort of controlled the game as well, and I guess that's sort of a glimpse into the future of Kyle Flanagan, and, you know, obviously with Matt Burton going there next year. So that's... Hopefully. Well, yeah, and that's another thing, you know, another discussion. They're trying to keep him there, but he's got a signed contract, and there is just no chance in hell that Canterbury are going to let him.
Because that's the only way they'd have to do it, is they have to let him go, which is like
not a chance in hell they're going to let him go.
A la Daly Cherry Evans, where, you know, he signed two contracts, and Gold Coast sort of had to let him.
Yeah, his was almost signed, and then he backed out of that deal.
Well, yeah. And like you just said, Bulldogs, the way he's playing, then there's no way they're going to grant him a release. No chance in hell. And they don't have the money. They'd have to offer him the same kind of money, so it wouldn't make sense anyway.
No, that's right.
What did you think of the
Talakai hit on poor old Matt Dury?
Oh, it was a hit.
Just destroyed him.
There were some big hits this weekend, actually.
Oh my god.
Some of them did warrant obviously certain sin bindable defenses, and some were just massive hits.
That's a huge hit, and it's sensational. I really didn't think that it warranted 10 in the bin. Like you could probably hit him with a larger suspension, but I really didn't think that warranted 10 in the bin, that one. And it's the sensationalism of it. Like, it was a massive hit. Holy mackerel! He just cut him in half. Yeah. Like, I'm surprised that they didn't have to bring two carts out there, one for the lower half of the body and one for the upper half of the body. Good God.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it was a massive hit.
Just annihilated him. I was listening to that game, the first half of that, on the radio on the drive home from work, and the commentators on the ABC radio, it felt like they jumped through the speakers in my car. Good Lord. And it's like I hadn't seen the hit until I got home, and I had a look at it at halftime, and
even if you hear them on the radio and they go off, you still want to see the hit because it hits. The next game, the Saturday game, your Cowboys getting over the Raiders 26-24. I did not pick. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I did not pick the Cowboys. But this game was, I'm not gonna call it a tale of two halves. This was a game where Raiders were great in the first half. The Cowboys weren't as great in the second half, but the Raiders were extremely poor in the second half.
Oh my Lord, like that's what happened. That's one of the poorest halves of footy I've seen by, you would, I guess, a team that you would call a top tier team this year that have got absolutely 100% premiership dreams. And they were just, oh my God, that was a horror show.
They had every single stat way over the Cowboys, and the only ones they sort of kept, which were offloads and dummy passes at full time. But every stat was huge, and then it all came back to like halfway, and then Cowboys passed them a lot. It was, yeah, man, that was a poor half. Like, oh, poor Ricky, my God, like,
oh man, yeah. And that's it. Like I said, you know, even to start off that game, like North Queensland were just doing, you know, Cowboys type things in just turning the ball over in just the worst field position and yep. giving Canberra so many shots at at the Cowboys try line. And as they were mentioning on the broadcast, like it just the same thing just keeps happening. The Cowboys cannot hang on to the ball. They've got like the second worst completion rate in the league at 73%. And then it comes to this game and they end up nearly completing 90% by the end of the game. They were near perfect with the ball in the second half in holding on to it. And Canberra, it looks like they were passing around a bucket of KFC in the change room at halftime. They had to have been. They all had greasy fingers. It was insane.
It was pretty, I mean, going off what the commentator said, and you obviously lived there, but they said it was pretty humid there too, so it might have been a bit of a sweat factor.
It's been fairly humid, and there's been a little bit of rain about over the last few days. So, but both teams are playing with the same ball.
Well, true. That's a good point, but yeah, it's a good point. What did you think of... did I read it correctly and Reece Robson started off at the start of this game and Jack Granville was on at the start?
No, Reece Robson was in jersey 20.
Yeah.
But he was, he's one of those like late inclusions.
Yeah.
He wasn't 100% going to be there. And then, I can't remember why they said he was actually in the 20 jersey by the end of it. Oh, you know, as he come on to the game and end up playing, you know, 70 plus minutes. And I really, I think I'm starting to like the two of them, like, you know, him and Granville playing on the field at the same time. I really like that one. They've got a really good sort of 1-2 punch out of dummy half, especially if they've got their middle forwards going with a bit of momentum and it just keeps whoever the opposition is on massively on the back foot. And they had Canberra backpedaling so much throughout this, especially throughout that second half. They had them on the back foot. And Ricky Stewart said in the press conference afterwards, they just couldn't get out of their own half. And that's, that's ball handling as well. So they're turning over cheap ball. And that's also, you know, a testament to the Cowboys in how aggressive they were defensively and trying to get up into their face to try and snuff out those big runs. And Ricky made team changes, and they
always making know, more changes
dropping,
too.
Dropping, you know, Josh Papali to the bench.
Yeah,
totally taking out Joseph Tarpany out of this side. Like he put in the young prop Emery Gula. He was good, but it's just. That's not the right formula there. You know, Hudson Young didn't play a whole lot in that game, and that hurt them a lot.
It's but then the same thing's happening again. Papali's not even named in the side this week at all.
He's being rested. I read that earlier. He's being rested.
And Tarpane is still on the bench. So, and Emre Gula is then now running front rower. So it's
on James, yeah.
It's probably like at the stage where Ricky's got to try all these kind of things because things aren't really working.
Jared Croker's gone, I think, with a shoulder injury for a couple of weeks too. So, but he was, not to say that he was the main offender, but boy, he dropped some fairly easy balls, you know, in sort of, you know, coming out of his own half. That's, I mean, you can't throw it all on Jared Croker, but he's as a solid center as there is going around, and that was a really sort of down performance especially by his standards. And it just, yeah, you could tell in the, you know, in the change rooms afterwards, everybody heads low, heads in hands. It was just one of those halves where it was, the game was there for the taking and they just couldn't capitalize on it.
And then the last 10 minutes, I can't work out why. I think he's a little bit ill-disciplined anyway. But your two players, Justin O'Neill and Mitch Dunn, like in the space of a minute each, got penalized for dangerous tackles and put on report. Mitch Dunn, yeah. And then straight after that, he's done a ruck infringement. So he's got a little bit of ill discipline, that Mitchell Dunn. But it's just it looked like they were just doing these things, yes, to keep him out. But then it looked like they nearly threw it away this game.
That's just what they do. They do their best to try and keep the opposition in the game. To their credit, they held on when Canberra actually got a little bit of good field position, inside the Cowboys 20, they repelled them. And they've got two very classy halves in White and George Williams. So for them to be able to keep, their creativity to a minimum. And the Cowboys played very direct. I think a bit of a momentum, not so much changer in that game, but I thought that the Cowboys were sort of starting to get on top a little bit. And then, Reece Robson scored fairly early in the second half. And then, the Justin O'Neill try, around the 60th minute, I think it was. I don't know what you thought of it, but I thought 100% he was offside by at least half a meter.
Justin O'Neill.
On his try.
On his try, he was offside again. Can't call. Yeah, it's.
Oh no, but that was the thing that they blew the try straight away, and obviously before they take the conversion, they can sort of go to the bunker and check. That's the easiest thing to check, and I don't care about this. Oh, his back foot. Was on the 10-meter line. Drinkwater was behind the 10-meter line.
Yeah, he was.
When he kicked that ball, it didn't matter. You could see that he's gaining momentum in his stride, and his left foot it made it look even worse than what it was. His left foot made him look like he was more than a meter offside. But you have a look at his rear foot, his right foot, the back foot was still half a meter offside when Drinkwater kicked the ball.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, I thought it was offside.
Bossy on commentary said, Ricky Stewart's going to jump out of the commentary box when he finds out that, because it was so easy to tell that he was offside.
Yeah, no, he was. He was offside. I mean, we can both say it. We didn't. That's three in a row now for the Cowboys. I don't think they would. They're not playing great. They're still lost four in the first four rounds, but I don't think they'd get three in a row. Not this time.
Obviously the two wins before that, with against West and against Canterbury the week before, obviously not the greatest quality sides, but this is a quality side. Canberra's absolutely a quality side.
Hopefully, best. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they don't have Hodgson at the moment, but the thing is with Canberra as well, they've got ample replacements. For key guys that they've lost at the moment, they don't have Charles Nicol-Klonstadt. They've got Caleb Akins there, who was a more than capable replacement at fullback. They don't have Josh Hodgson at the moment. They've got Tom Starling, and he's awesome.
Yeah, I do like Tom Starling.
Do you know what I mean? Like in key positions,
their
replacements for star players on that side are still pretty damn good replacements. Well,
we're talking about a team in 2 years ago that was in the grand final and nearly won it. So
that's right.
And they really haven't changed much of that squad. So it's interesting. Well, something's obviously, I don't know what's going on, but something's happening. So, look, they could still bounce back next week. I think, who have they got next week while I'm scrolling through? They have got the Rabbitohs. Ooh, okay. That's a Thursday game.
That's the Thursday night game, yeah.
Ooh, okay.
They'll want to forget about this game that happened up here this week. And they've just got to put that behind them And yeah, now they've got to focus on a little bit more unpredictable Rabbitohs.
Next game was the Manly Seagulls smashing the Tigers 40-6.
Yeah. And this score could have been a whole lot more.
Yeah.
If Manly hadn't have sort of, I think, wasted a few opportunities in the first half. This score could have been this could have been a cricket score.
Yeah, well, it was, but you're right. It
could have been more of a cricket score.
Could have been a lot worse. And there wasn't much to say in this game, but just how I guess it seems we were both wrong, and Tom Dravojevic is making a difference. One person is making a difference for Manly.
It's unbelievable to even say that.
Well, we didn't say it because we didn't think one person would change, but he is. He topped the meters. In his second game of 210 metres, he got the most line breaks and two line breaks, and he scored a try. Like, one person has changed that side.
The two DCE tries, too, that he scored, you know, pretty much back-to-back, were just horrible defensive lapses and poor defence by Musgrove. He got burnt once on one side of the field, and then he goes back over to his preferred side of the field and then gets scorched over that side. You're just like, oh my god, were they picking him out deliberately? I don't know.
Possibly, but Daly Cherry Evans is a player that plays off. I'm trying to think of the word. Like, he's playing. I'll put it this way: if the side's going bad, he can set a lead, but he gets lost. When the side's going good,
there's always been that criticism of he's a terrific front runner, but when they've got to get down and dirty, and you know they're not having the best of times like they were at the start of this year, then he doesn't justify what he's on best foot forward.
Correct. He doesn't justify what he's on because of that reason. But he played good in this game. I mean that. I really thought, I mean, up until even the Tigers scored early, but I thought up in this game, I thought, okay, it might actually be close, because then the next try wasn't until the 30th minute. I mean,
The first 20-odd minutes was fairly competitive.
Yeah, it was. It was competitive, but then Tigers do what Tigers... I mean, that, you know, we said about other teams. Threat. I think we said it about Brisbane, but this team is just... I'll say it. The same as what's happening to Kevin Woods, happening to Michael Maguire. He's inherited $2.4 million of talent that Ivan Cleary left there. So what is he supposed to do?
And the so-called best center in the competition in Joey Leilua, and he's running around a reserve grade.
Yeah. Yeah. Luke Brooks has done nothing. We know that he's non-existent. James Roberts, I don't know.
He's just not existent there.
He is. Yeah, he is. Yeah.
It's scary.
It's a terrible put together. So I except for Nofaluma, because I do like Nofaluma.
I have no idea why James Tamo went there. Why would you leave? You know, the minor premiers, you know, winners of a zillion games in a row. Lost in a grand. Why would you leave?
Because he's 32. Yep. To me, I'd say he's 32. They offered him, obviously, this money, and this will be his final contract, or at least one of the final contracts. That's the only reason. Because he wasn't leaving for a premiership.
It's not as if Jimmy's playing poor.
He's not leaving. He was not leaving for a premiership. He would have to be the first to admit that. I know he's on pretty decent money.
He don't need no premiership. He won one here in 2015. He don't need no premiership.
Yeah, well, some people still like premierships. He likes the money, obviously, because that's the only reason he moved there. So, which you can't blame him. 32 years old. So,
no, that's fair. That's fair enough. Yeah, you can't fold him. That's what I mean. They got families and lives to look after as well. So, you know, you take the money and run.
Next game was the first traditional Anzac Day game, if you want to say that. The Roosters getting out of the Dragons 34-10.
Look, I guess, you know, we always have these traditional Anzac Day games. You know, it's always the Roosters and the Dragons. Well, it has been, you know, in recent history anyway, the Roosters and the Dragons on Anzac Day, and obviously Melbourne and New Zealand Warriors as well.
At my time, yes. Yeah.
St. George, I just don't think they sort of stepped up to the plate.
No, because they come into this with form. So yeah, I was very surprised.
Now they've lost two on the trot. So
yeah,
you know, they had that lightning in a bottle for a couple of weeks there, where they're just going out and they're being aggressive defensively, and now that's just started to there was no way they were ever going to sustain that for a long period of time, but now they've just sort of dropped off a little bit. And look, the amount of quality players that are out of this Roosters lineup at the moment, and people that were lost even during this game.
Tedesco.
That's right, and they did terrific. The Roosters.
It was one guy, one 18-year-old that was at the Brisbane Broncos, and that's Sam Walker. And I will talk about the Brisbane later. I'm just pointing out a glaring problem with Brisbane's recruitment drive.
Yeah, how could you let him go? How could you let him walk out the door?
We'll talk about Dearden later, but yeah, I don't know this
well,
look,
kid. We've talked about it before. How could North Queensland let Brandon Smith and Viliami Kikau walk out the door from here? Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it does not make sense, because I'll put it this way. I guarantee if the Walker brothers, he's obviously related to, got
he's
the
Ben's,
job there.
He's Ben's boy. I think he's Ben's boy.
Ben's boy, yeah. If they both got the job there, like they were touted to get, there's no way he would have been leaving. There's not a chance in hell he would have been leaving. So, man, look, he's proving it. He's 18 and look what he's doing.
He was born in the UK.
Yeah, I said that a couple of weeks ago. So technically he can, it depends, he's up to, he could technically then be an England halfback. Yeah. They better hurry up and work all that out, because England won't muck around. They'll sign him.
Oh, that's right. And
he'll have his dual citizenship.
Queensland will come knocking. Don't worry about that. Queensland will come knocking.
Queensland, that's going to happen. I already know that's going to happen. Queensland will come knocking. And I would dare say, I don't know his ties in the whole UK. So as in, like, I don't know if it's the relatives or, you know,
it was just because Ben Walker was over there playing in the Super League.
Ah, okay.
So yeah. he was just born over there, and then obviously brought. I think he was two. I think when they came back, you know, when him and his wife came back from the UK, yeah, he was playing for the Leeds Rhinos, and that's where that sort of comes into it, where I can only assume that he would be eligible for dual citizenship.
100%. He would have dual citizenship most likely. So Australia and all that better hurry up, because I guarantee
the English Lions will come. They'll be sniffing around.
And, I mean, he has to sort of think about, like, who the halfbacks are now and if he can actually sort of be halfback in the long term.
He's 18. Like, he's got a lot of time.
100%, but you still...
Terry Evans and Munster to get out of the way for him.
I was going to say, you still should decide these things, but, I mean, these days it doesn't matter, clearly, because everybody wants to play for Queensland, New South Wales and all that, so who cares about what country you play for? I know, we're not getting into that. But he played great. That Roos has played great. If if they keep this sort of their sort of form, I guess, going, I think Tedesco is still going to be there next week, if I remember correctly. I'm obviously procrastinating. Yeah, he is there next week, because I'm looking at it. Yeah, so they're pretty the same 1-7, 1-17, because he did pass protocols, concussion protocols. So,
which is a bit scary, because that's what I was saying. They were talking about it, I think you're just on Fox Sports News there this afternoon. This is his third, you know, heavy head knock in 8 months.
Oh, no Roosters can seem to catch a break with head knocks.
No, that's right.
That's, I'm terrible to say, but look at the two, the one retired, the one that's out, and I'll be surprised if he comes back. And now today,
I would be very surprised if he doesn't call it quits as well.
So, I'll be very surprised if he doesn't call it quits. It would be absolutely ludicrous if he doesn't. Is that a trend of, like, something's being coasting there or something? Or is it just bad?
I think that's just bad luck. And even, you know, even with Jordan Pereira and his hit on Tedesco, he's falling.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's a hard hit.
But once again, it doesn't deserve 10 minutes in the bin. I don't care what anybody says. He's falling into the tackle.
But
he's made contact with the head. Put him on report, and you either fine him or you give him a suspension so he misses future games. It's just you don't want to say that it's fair or not fair. I just don't think that that's the right unless it's crazy foul play. You know, almost like Jack Hetherington on Val Holmes a couple of weeks ago. I just don't think 10 minutes in the bin is warranted. I just don't.
I agree with you, but they've set a precedent, so they had to.
No, and that means we're going to have two or three, four sin binnings a week now.
I guarantee we will for a while until someone whinges about and then it'll sort of slow down again.
It'll only take the Roosters or Melbourne or Brisbane or one of the perennial powerhouses to have a bit of a boo-hoo about it, and it'll be out.
Oh, Bellamy will do it soon. I guarantee that.
If it happens to a couple of his players, that they get sent for two, he won't be happy with that.
In a losing side, I just wanted to point out again, I'm going to keep saying it, it must be Queensland recruitment, but Josh McGuire let go. Josh McGuire had a very good game in that game.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Again, a head scratch of what's going on in I'm just going to say Queensland recruitment, except for the Titans, Queensland recruitment. There's a worrying trend. I mean, I will talk about this later. We'll go over the last game in a second.
They had a few positional changes as well, too. St. George, they ended up moving Jack Bird into 5'8", putting Clune back onto the bench. So, I guess you can sort of see.
Jack Bird played a lot of half. It was really weird. He technically was a second receiver, but he felt like the halfback during
Why Anthony Griffin's sort of maybe tinkering with it a little bit. He wants to get Jack Bird a little bit more involved, get him some more touches. But I say
they go after. They have to go after a half if they don't see Adam Clune there as their future, so to speak.
He's a fairly solid half.
We liked him last year. And I think, honestly, Jack Bird's brilliant in the centres personally. So,
We'll have to see what happens too when Ben Hunt comes back, because he's been, he was named on an extended bench last week, and I could only assume that if he was named last week, then he will be named again this week in an extended bench. So he's a good chance of playing possibly.
He's starting seven. He's been named as starting seven.
He's just straight up back in, fair enough.
He's straight up back in, straight in seven, number six, yeah. I'm surprised. We're talking about losing side here, but I'm surprised they're not looking at him re-signing Matt Dufty.
Oh, they'll be foolish not to.
Well, they're not going to. They're pretty much, they're not going to look at offering him. They said he's starting to look elsewhere. Great for the Zach Lomax. I reckon Zach Lomax is a pretty good...
That just doesn't make any sense at all. Nah,
I think Zach Lomax is a great fullback, that side doesn't worry me.
Why would you let him walk out the door? But that's the thing. If they are thinking about maybe shuffling Lomax to the back, or maybe Corey Norman goes to the back, or however the hell they want to do it, why would you let that just doesn't make. You've got a ready-made fullback right there. He's dynamic. He's one of your best players. He's fast. He's got terrific footwork. I don't understand why you'd let him walk out the door.
Well, he's free to look, basically, is what they're saying. So, because like the contracts. We'll talk about other contracts later, but they just haven't had any discussion with him. He said he doesn't know what he's having. Obviously, really good form. He's had one of the best forms this year, but no one's sort of talking to deals with him at the moment. He basically came out and said that it's 50-50 if he knows he's going to stay there or not, which is ridiculous. So I'm surprised I'm honestly surprised no one else hasn't pounced on that, because God knows a lot of teams could use him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a team like the West Tigers or someone like that could use him.
Brisbane could use him straight away.
Brisbane could, to say that Asako is a makeshift fullback. Look, he does pretty well there at fullback, but
yeah,
he has come from the wing and moving into that fullback position. But yeah,
I like him in the line. Brisbane like him could. Even in the centres, Asako. I like him in the line. I don't like him at the back, and that's just my personal opinion on that. God, I'm starting to sound like Charles Barkley, in my opinion. the next game. Oh, I should just start bragging on Skip Bayless. Next game is Yeah, Storm, final game. Really at the end, sort of at the end, just doing what Storm do. 42-20 over the Warriors. It felt really, really written in the first half. And then they put the throne on again in the second half. It was
They didn't take the foot off the gas at all.
Well, Kemamalo's two tries. Like as you said, they bailed in a couple of tries. I think you said that right at the start. The scoreline was blown out up until that. Still
is. That's right. It's 42-10.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's exactly right. Look, Melbourne, I was – someone leaves, and we say this probably every week, but it's just tried and true there. Someone leaves, like – oh, my God, he's already left and I've lost his name. The winger that's gone to the Union.
Vunivalu,
and then someone
said, forget about your stars easily down there, don't you?
That's terrible. Vunivalu. And others stepped up, and it wasn't George Jennings. Yeah, while he sort of went off early because he got absolutely poleaxed.
That was rough too.
Remy Smith playing well, a lot better than I thought, and that was a cheap pickup.
He's a good player, Remy Smith.
He is. It was Bulldogs, if I remember correctly. He was at, I believe.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was. He debuted for the Bulldogs, and he's only 23 years old, and Melbourne getting him on the cheap. So it's just...
cheap and young.
It's just a tried-and-true formula of what they do. Look how good this... Pappenhausen will come back eventually, but look how good this Nico Hines is going.
How good... Yeah, and he's got teams looking at him as well, because... two prime candidates are back up here, in Brisbane and North Queensland were sort of sniffing around him. So, where he would fit into the team, but he's obviously in the kind of form and that kind of player. It's the same, like we said, it's the same sort of situation with Matt Burton and Connor Watson. They know they have to have him in, even with Pappenhausen being there.
Right.
They know they have to have him in the 17 somewhere.
They won't be able to hold him. He's
I wouldn't think so.
Did you end up? I mean, we don't need to sort of go over it too much because it was pretty eye opening, but pretty revealing on him, his part, his whole. He's a huge advocate for mental health because he went through a lot of stuff just to get to the NRL. So
yeah, that's right. Sunshine Coast or Central Coast?
Yeah, no, where I was born, Gosford, Central Coast boys.
He's Central Coast.
Those kind of things people want, clubs to me, smart clubs would love to hear because he's an advocate of that and he puts everything into the game. So, yeah, Melbourne won't hold him, but someone will pick him up because he's Melbourne.
He'll get paid. He'll get his money, which is good.
Or, hopefully, depending on where he's going to play, depends what happens with Ado Kara still going to the Bulldogs next year. I mean, that's a sign set on the contract because he wants to move to Sydney anyway. So, do you like – it's eventually going to have to change. But do you like the fact Brandon Smith's still playing in that starting number 9? It's doing what you just said actually before with your boys and Cowboys.
It can work. Yeah, absolutely, it can work. Why wouldn't you be able to? It's all you have to do is just shuffle Smith into the to being a middle forward like he has played for throughout the year. And then you bring Harry Grant on. He's nice and fresh. He's not playing 80 minutes. Even if you play Harry Grant's playing 55 minutes, that means he's even more fresh and even more dangerous out of dummy half. It's unbelievable what you can achieve. Especially, like we said with North Queensland, or just if you've got that, you've got a forward pack that's rolling forward, and then you have a two punch dummy half combo like they've got, you just keep teams on the back foot.
Has your team then, and my team, tapped into something that might actually work? If you, instead of worrying about all these, you have a bench full of front rowers or forwards that you have two nines that could then play, like you said, Brandon Smith could slot back to the second rower, just like, I'm terrible with names today. Holy hell.
like Reece Robson or Jake Graham.
I think it was Granville that ended up putting him in the second row.
Your quintessential sort of middle forward, so to speak. Like, they're not going to give you any huge, busting hit ups or anything like that. You know, at least Brandon Smith, you know, he can sort of get you some tough meters like that. And I think the Cowboys sort of tried that sort of philosophy, I think, with Reuben Cotter. And unfortunately, I think he's just a little bit sort of on the smaller side to be, you know, to be in that. He's Connor Watson, he's coming up everywhere in this conversation today. But he's just they want to play him at lock, and I just don't think he's built for that.
No, he's not.
And now he's gone for a little while anyway. I'm pretty sure it was Reuben Cotter that's he's got that Lisfranc surgery. He's that Lisfranc injury, which is the same sort of thing that Cam Newton, the former Carolina Panthers quarterback and now New England Patriots quarterback. That was one thing that he was going through in his last year at Carolina, was that Lisfranc injury, and it's like one of the bones in your foot that gets a like a hairline fracture in it, and there's also ligament damage through there as well. Apparently it's super painful.
The only thing with Melbourne in the second week this sort of happened is they're hovering around that 70% completion rate. They did the same thing last week as well. So, yeah, look, points are good, and they're still getting points, but they're going to come up against tougher
teams. Bellamy won't be
happy with that. No, because they're going to come up against tougher teams. They'll come up against tougher teams, and those tougher teams will expose that. So, it happened the week before as well. So, they got the Sharks this week, so they're probably not as bad again this week, but they need to keep working on their completion rate.
No, but yeah, like you said, it's not really a trend. It's only 2 weeks, so it's not a trend.
It's for a Melbourne side that's usually consistent. It's just something I noticed. That's all. So
yeah, look, just in regards to the Warriors, I think that like we said, those two traditional games that we normally have on Anzac Day, they just didn't really live up to the billing this year, I didn't think. Usually they're fairly tightly contested, and it doesn't really matter where each team is on the ladder. It's always a super competitive game, but I thought both losers in these two fixtures were really off the pace. I thought New Zealand were very lackluster, and St. George were as well. I just thought of, again, we've had positional changes in this game for the Warriors. They moved Tuivasa-Sheck out to the wing, and they brought in the Warriors brought in their new young gun, their new shiny toy, Reece Walsh, that they picked up from the Broncos. So look, he showed a lot of promise. I didn't mind what he was doing, and that basically, you know, they had to shunt RTS out to the wing just to cover for David Fusatua, who was named in the starting side, but didn't end up playing. He's still carrying an injury, so they ended up having to sort of move RTS just sort of out there to the wing just through necessity and bring in the young kid Walsh.
Yeah, he's only 18 as well, so that's, you know, he's got obviously plenty of years left. Moving on to our weekly studs and duds of the week. Me for my stud, I mentioned him at the start of this. I mean, I'm not going to go past someone that does 336 meters in Brian Toto. That's ridiculous. And the amount of workload he did and played 80 minutes. There's no way I'm going past him.
That's an insane workload that you just that's hard to replicate every week. So it will just have to sort of see how much he can keep that up, I guess. But yeah, Toto was great. So you can't really go wrong there. Look, for me, you know, I've got start of the week, you know, and it's kind of lame, but I'm going to give it to the Bulldogs for finally getting their first win of the season. When there was a lot of talk. There was two talking points: who can beat Penrith, and will Canterbury beat anybody? So we can just put that to rest right now. That, you know, obviously Canterbury have got this win You know,
you can tell how much it meant to him too, just by Barrett.
Oh man, yeah, exactly. And this, you know, this is only week 7. Do you know what I mean? They're only to say only 0-6, but it's weighed heavily on them already.
Yeah, it has. Yeah. So that's fair. That's a good one.
Look, they started off that game great. They ran up the middle. They were direct. They ran out of dummy half a lot, and it just put Cronulla under a lot of pressure. And yeah, that they crumbled heavily under that pressure. But you know, from a side that's been well off the pace this year, and yeah, just big raps to the Bulldogs, and you know, hopefully there's a few more wins to come, and they can be a little bit more competitive in games.
I also nearly had like as a well a close stud was just the crowds this week. The crowds were great all week. I mean, I know it took a long weekend, but the crowds were pretty good overall.
Look, I think apart from the Cronulla, well, that same game, the Cronulla Canterbury, I think that was out at Cogra. I think it was only like 7,000 people there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty ordinary, but there's some good crowds across the weekend, so you can't really complain. And you know, for as much as rugby league is terrific to watch on TV, just for me personally, I don't think nothing's like going out to the game and watching it at the stadium.
No, nothing is going. No, you're right. No, I mean, well, I don't have that here, unfortunately, like you do. But
you go out there and enjoy the Mackay Cutters.
I did enjoy it. I'll tell you a story. I did enjoy that 3 weeks ago in a corporate box that I didn't pay for. I enjoyed the alcohol. My God, I enjoyed the alcohol.
That's the best way to enjoy it.
It's just unfortunately they had to come up against the PNG Hunters and absolutely just, man, like, holy hell. I think, I don't know if I said this to you, but I drunkenly said it to a lot of people that Saturday night. Those guys are, well, you're shorter than me, so the guys that say are about your height, maybe a little bit taller than you. They all look like they weigh 100 kilos. They all have 50 kilos in their chest. And they all, you can hear the hits.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you hear the hits at NRL games and that. And these games, you don't really hear with the, generally, you don't hear them. My God, we heard them. Holy.
They're just little blocks of granite with eyeballs, arms, and legs.
I mean, I'll go to a game where, like, you know, you get a corporate box. That's always handy. But
corporate boxes, especially when you ain't paying for them.
Who'd you have for your dud of the week?
Look, you don't want to keep harping on it, but like, just Brisbane were just. Awful in Darwin.
Your segue is brilliant. Your segue is brilliant.
They were awful up there. Like the game just could not have gotten off to a worse start off the kickoff. Xavier Coates had no idea where the dead ball line was. So he's trying to stick his leg out. He's trying to look where his leg is. And then all of a sudden he looks up, the ball's already on him and he drops the ball in the in goal. And then they score like 4 tackles later. Like it just gets off to the worst start, and it just there's just nobody that's putting their hand up, like we said, except for Payne Huss. So I would say 16 of the 17 players out of that Broncos team were my duds of the week, because Payne Huss, you can't heap him in that. He's just a bull there at the moment, and he just looks like he's the only one that's really putting in, and not to say they're not putting in effort, but it's just showing out on the field that he is clearly a class above everybody at the moment, and he's just in super form.
I'll echo on that as a dud of the week, because it's going to segue into us talking about the Broncos and look, their recruitment is I'm going to put Kevy in this a little, because you look at the Bulldogs, right? The Bulldogs were not shy and were very open of coming out on who they were going after this last year. And they signed all those players. Yes, they know they had to pay overs, just like the Broncos are going to have to pay overs now, unfortunately.
Just like North Queensland have.
Because Broncos don't have that, I don't care what they think, they don't have that luster like they do anymore. So what I mean is,
the recruitment guys there actually have to go and do some work.
That's what it is. And the reason I wanted to bring him up, like with Tom Dearden, so Tom Dearden, it's all sort of tying in, because I know this kid just just for locally, because one of my good mates here was a president and coached him for like 3 or 4 years. So at, you know, in Mackay here. So he signed a $1.1 million deal, 3-year deal with the Cowboys. And we'll talk about him in Townsend in a second. I've got heaps to say about that as well. But yeah, I know I did the same thing and so did he. But anyway, and he's a Cowboys supporter. You let him go. You first come out and said, well, I don't think it was, maybe it wasn't him, but they first come out and said he was a clear, he's our future. This is he's what we priority. See him. He's a priority. Then now his manager has come out and said, they said all that. They never offered. It wasn't a bidding war against him because they never got one offer from the Brisbane at all. Not one offer. He got a couple offers from New South Wales, and then they got that very rich offer from North Queensland. He's a North Queensland boy, so they, you know, put a lot of, I mean, you know, it makes total sense. I mean, that's a pretty good deal for a 19-year-old. My God, that's a good deal for a 19-year-old.
Yes, $19. Yes, it is. An unproven 19-year-old.
That's exactly right. So, of course, he was going to jump at it. It still stems back to me of why are they clearly, like they're saying that everybody's in the crosshairs. Why are they not coming out and saying, you hear all these rumors, but why are they not coming out and saying, well, this is what we're targeting? You don't have to say the players, but say, I need a halfback. I need, you know. Well,
Todd Payton has done the same thing. He's come out and said that he hasn't said the same thing. He hasn't named players, but, you know, he's come out and said that.
That's right.
The Cowboys need a middle forward and an edge back rower. Like the
he wanted a better halves combination, and we'll talk about that in a second, but he come out and said that. Brisbane aren't saying jack. All they have said at the moment is retaining is their biggest thing. But they still haven't signed anybody in their retaining.
No, their retention in sort of keeping a few of those guys, I think they signed up Jordan Rickey. You know, obviously they had to let the young kid Reece Walsh go to the Warriors. So
it just perplexes me. I
think Kevy said it at the start of the year. You know, with all these other teams circling around all their talent, it's just like, well, we must be doing something right if all these teams are coming out trying to poach our young talent. But they're just not putting the performances on the board when they wear the Broncos jersey.
Well, that's exactly right. And I mean, you know, we'll talk now about Dearden and sort of going to the Cowboys. I love the Chad Townsend signing. Yes, they had to pay overs, and that's what you got to do. But we both said last week we love the Chad Townsend.
No other way they were going to get him to come up here.
But we both said we love it because he's a game manager. It was cheaper than what Reynolds was going to be. And it worked.
And he fits perfectly. I would think he would fit perfectly besides Scott Drinkwater.
And that's it. I think that would be a terrific
halves combination.
This is the whole text thread, and this is because he coached him. This is the whole text thread that we were talking about of all these Broncos fans, except for the guy that coached him. He's got other theories, but we all said he's unproven. He's only playing halfback. How is he? I mean, obviously your coach sees something that we don't. I do not get, and clearly you must have. He's put the money into it. I don't see him as a 5'8", not at all.
I don't see him being out. Well, not so much just being as effective as a second receiver.
Or is it I said to all them, he's not, you know, and then he goes, yeah, he played all these positions at junior league. And I said, that's junior league.
That's junior league. This is the big boys now.
That's exactly right. And he's still young and he's still
small. That's right. He's a boy playing against 85% of men.
He's still got growing to do. I like the idea and technically it's not overs, but I like the idea of, he honestly sits behind Chad Townsend and they keep Scott Drinkwater and he learns from Chad Townsend. And then because Chad Townsend never moves on.
Why put the money there? Why put the investment into him if you're just going to have him run it real wide, just to have him run around for the Mackay Cutters?
It's clearly not going to happen because Chad Townsend signed a 3-year contract. This is a 3-year contract. So you're not getting any benefit out of it. I just think if he learned off Chad Townsend, he would probably be a lot better because he's still young. He's still small. He's not really a game manager. He's had a forward pack behind him. He's coming to a team like you've blatantly said a lot that do not have a decent forward pack. So it's a the money I sort of get, but it's still a perplexing signing. I don't know what you think.
Like I said, it's unproven, and in the words of a Ren and Stimpy character called Mr. Horse, no, sir, I don't like it.
Yeah, okay.
You've already got a guy who's a lot more in it, advanced as a half, already at the club, familiar with the systems, familiar with the structures in Scott Drinkwater. So I don't know now why you're going to have to go there and alienate him for the coming years with the signing of Chad Townsend. Terrific. We'll partner those two together. But to grab Dearden, I don't see any versatility there. Once again, we've said he's unproven. Now you're paying over $300,000 a year for him to come up to be behind a not so great North Queensland forward pack. And not to say that they can't turn it around and the Cowboys might sign. They might get some good signings in the forward pack, or they might be able to bring some young kids up from, you know, from the juniors or from reserve grade that play well in first grade.
There's
currently constructed.
Around. I think Blackhawks have a few decent forwards around. That's, you know, what I looked at last.
I'm not sure if I've mentioned it here, but the Blackhawks have got a young kid running around. I'm pretty sure it's Riley Price. And that is the former Steve Bulldog Price. And Warriors great.
It is.
Steve Price's kid.
And will I do the same thing and then see someone that has potential and then let him go? Who knows?
Yeah, but then let him go to the Bulldogs.
But you're right. It's a perplexing signing. I still think clearly Kevy doesn't see the future in him because it's now coming out.
He doesn't now. He's just turfed him out of the side.
We didn't even offer him anything. So, yeah, you're right. He didn't offer him anything, and now he's not even going to play this week. He's going to play he's probably going to play the reserves for the rest of the year.
Yeah, probably.
And now they've got in their crosshairs.
And that's bad, too, because that's kind of stunting his growth then.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Well, maybe. It might sort of teach him sort of – not a lesson of – you can't blame him for him signing a contract, but it might
get – especially when there's no offers for him.
It might gain him experience in those lower grades to actually, you know, come out. And that's what I think he did last year. That's why they sort of promoted him. I think he had blinders in the reserve grades, if I remember correctly. Well, they're not reserve grades, but Q Cup.
Yeah, reserve grade.
Do you think the potential signing of Sean Johnson now we're still on Brisbane to Brisbane is good?
It's on the cards and, you know, well, he
came out and reported that on Monday that he has no ties in Sydney, which, you know, is true. He has no ties in Sydney. And I'm saying that because Adam Reynolds has huge ties in Sydney and so does Mitchell Moses. So it kind of makes sense. They're going to have to pay overs for him. And because if I remember correctly...
Man, he's already on a fat contract at Cronulla, isn't he?
Well, they're going to have to pay probably the same amount of money because if I remember correctly, didn't Craig Fitzgibbon come out and said if they end up leaving, oh no, it was Buzz Rodfield said this, where if they end up landing Adam Reynolds, that Fitzgibbon said to him that that's their dream pairing of his dream pairing, Reynolds and Sean Johnson in 5'8", which is a pretty good halves combination.
Yeah, no, you'd be happy with that.
So what are they? You're still confident with your side, and I'm going to keep picking on the Queensland teams. You're still confident with your side of what you got. You still need a front rower, and you still need an edge player.
Yeah, it's depth. That's all it is. Depth at edge back row, depth at prop. And, you know, they've got enough young guys that are in the systems at the moment that, you know, strike back, you know, back line players. You know, obviously they've got the million-dollar man there in Valentine Holmes, not Ted DiBiase, but Valentine Holmes.
And, and I wanted to mention, with Valentine Holmes, so he's an out-and-out number one. He shouldn't move anywhere else, and that's not going to change next year, correct? Because of what he's...
I don't see it. Like, okay. You could, yeah.
So my thing
you could
is...
You could maybe make the case for next year if, you know, if Todd Payton wants to sort of pitch to Scott Drinkwater, hey... You know, we might move on from Valentine Holmes and put him into the centres and just live with, you know, paying him a large quantity of money, and we'll put you at fullback. and have, you know, have maybe a centres pairing of Tabu Ifedo and Holmes, or,
well, I, you know what I mean?
There could be those sorts of scenarios coming out.
I think you need a centre. That's the other position I think you glaringly need, to be completely honest.
Look, with the, we thought we had one in Isan Masters, and he's clearly been a major flop.
He's not even in the side anymore.
No, he was the 18th man last week, and that's, I mean,
he was given his first chance
by Paul Green. He got dumped.
He's not even in the full 21 squad. He's out. He's complete. Him and Mitch done, but I think Miz and Mitch done. He's on report, or is it? No, one match suspension. Yeah, he's on report. And you got Tamalolo back this week, by the looks of it.
Possibly.
Well, he's been named, but so we'll see. What else?
Didn't play.
What else do Brisbane need to do then? Considering that there's every chance they mightn't even...
Well, now they need to go out and try and find another halfback, don't they?
Well, they mightn't even keep Tony Staggs as well. That's the other thing that's going around as well.
Well, that's the thing. Like, is that going to be their future halves pairing then? Tony Staggs and Sean Johnson. They've got a young kid that they're blooding this week, and Tyson Gamble. I don't think this is even his debut. I'm pretty sure he's played a couple of first grade games before this. So they're giving him his shot this week with Anthony Milford. Clearly Anthony Milford's on the way out, but yeah, no, they're in desperate need of a halves pairing. I don't mind their back line, but they could definitely use a little bit more strike power at the fullback position as well.
Well, they need to work out what they're going to do with Xavier Coates, because they still haven't signed him, and he's now looking at Parramatta. They need to sign him and Katoni Staggs, personally.
I think he's one of the guys that's sort of being, you know, lost in the losses, so to speak.
Xavier Coates,
like, I think you put him it's like most players, you put him in a good side, and I think he'll shine. But he's definitely sort of dropped off a little bit this year compared to the form he was in last year. In badly beaten Bronco sides last year, but he's really fallen by the wayside, I think, with his form this year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, look, tough times in Brisbane. They need to work out all this quick, because they might end up being bought out of, like, we talk about the quarterback race in the NFL, where once these quarterbacks all get taken up in free agency, there's not many left. That's going to probably happen here.
Yeah, that's right. And then they'll have their pick of the dregs then. That's not where they want to be. They will want to sign one of these marquee halfbacks or marquee halves that could be on the market next year.
They have to do it quick, because they're going to dry up quick. Depending on what happens.
Well, that's what I mean. We're getting into that. You're getting into that time of year where it'll be that they're going to be able to make deals with these players for next season. So it's, you know, we've already got players that are out there now that are making decisions for next year already.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the other one that I want to bring up before I bring up the last thing, because I've mentioned NFL for a reason, the Bulldogs end up snaring Brent Naden on a 3-year deal.
Yeah, I did see that actually. So, yeah, I think that's a good pickup. I guess he's kind of on the outer a little bit at Penrith at the moment. They've sort of got a plethora of outside backs running around out there. So a really good pickup there by the Bulldogs.
And that's just a case of the Bulldogs just not having enough cap sort of space, having cap issues because of all the stars they have. So
yeah,
man, it's not Trent Barrett's fault, but aren't they going to start, like, that'll be like a little rivalry. I know it's Parramatta, your West rivalry, Parramatta and Panthers, but I reckon Bulldogs, and the way it's going, these the players that are going back and forth,
I think the way's a little bit of a war shunning from club to club.
So he has the other thing with Burton. Sorry, he has reaffirmed his commitment to Bulldogs, and that's purely because he's not going to get any money anywhere, not anywhere else. Sorry, through Penrith. So
no, he's not getting any money at Penrith.
Last thing I wanted to touch on was purely because I mentioned NFL and NBA, or we didn't mention NBA, but it just sort of come through about an hour ago, the NRL floating an idea or radical idea of to split the league into two conference system, which is much like the NBA, if anyone follows the NBA. We're not going to call it East and Western Conference because this is basically Sydney and everybody else conference.
That's right. And, you know, why does the NBA do it? You know, basically, well, the NBA, the NHL does it as well. Yeah, and Major League Baseball does it as well. It's geographical. You know, it's divisional, it's conferences, but it's geographical. The NFL can get away with it because they only play 16 games a year.
Correct.
So their divisions, they try and keep the teams fairly close, you know, to each other, but the one that always sticks out to me is the NFC East and the Dallas Cowboys being in the NFC East, and then the other ones being in a very close proximity on the eastern seaboard of America. So that's always a bit of a head scratcher. But
I know it's a hilarious one. I always go, like, when you've got a friggin' New York team, two New York teams in different divisions, and they're so close to each other.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They
play in the same stadium.
I know. I'm not gonna lie. No, I'm never gonna hate it because it's good for the Cowboys. But anyway,
that's right. Yeah, in a dumpster fire a division like they are there, but it just this just seems. I don't know. I don't know why this is coming about now. I know they've been talking about expansion for the next couple of years, but this would have to bring in two extra teams, and then if they're going to split the league into a conference system, then how does that work? I know this is all very fresh news, and you know, we can go around and speculate all we want how the hell they're going to do it. So, you know, obviously they'd have to have their home and away, games with obviously the Sydney conference. That's how it's going to be. It'll be, they're sort of outlining that the Sydney conference will be, you know, Roosters, Rabbitohs, Eels, Bulldogs, Tigers, Panthers, Dragons, Sharks, and Seagulls. Nine teams. What does that mean with nine teams? Well, that means somebody's going to have a bye, and that sucks ass.
And the thing, like, it's brilliant for the Sydney teams. How is this work?
It's terrific.
For
they don't have to get on planes anymore.
And it might generate more crowds and everything like that in Sydney. But maybe, why don't you maybe look at actually where you're getting your TV? If this is over TV deals, which it apparently is, why don't you look at actually where the TV numbers are coming from and realize it's coming from your Southeast Queensland and that. And they would be Southeast Queensland and pay everybody else. Yes, there's – and Melbourne. You know, Melbourne still get a lot of people watching it. Yes, they don't go to a lot of games, but they do get a lot of people, Melbourne and all over Australia, that watch Melbourne. Yes, again, there's certain teams in Sydney that can pull in – you know, you're like a Roosters and they can pull in TV figures.
You're still going to get poor crowds. So, if you did it a couple of weeks ago, if you had the Seagulls and the Bulldogs playing each other, look what sort of crowd are you going to get for that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, well, obviously the Seagulls are playing a hell of a lot better now. But do you know what I mean? If it's not going to matter. I get it. You know, they're trying to increase it. Whether it's finals, teams, they want to have this conference where it's always and only going to be Sydney teams that are going to be in one side of the conference for their semi-finals and then their preliminary finals, grand final qualifiers, blah, blah, blah. So they want to have an increase there. But what you make up there, you're surely going to lose with the other conference, which the other conference would basically consist of the Broncos, Gold Coast, Cowboys, Storm, Warriors, Knights, Raiders, a new team in Brisbane, and it would have to be another team in New Zealand as well. So the two new expansion clubs are going to be in the one conference. Expansion teams don't instantly go bang and are good. Except if you're the Vegas Golden Knights in the NHL. They actually made the Stanley Cup
or Melbourne
last year. It took them two years to make a grand final. So.
Still didn't take them long, but I know what you mean.
No, that's right. Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, expansion teams don't just come in and just make a wow of it. So it just the thing that sticks out to me is the bye. That's the big thing that you're not just – So you want to bring in two extra teams. So if you just have no conferences and you have an 18-team league, that means you get an extra game each week. So that means you can go to the TV, you know, you can go to the TV broadcasters and go, hey, we're going to have an extra game because we're having two extra teams come in.
Yeah.
You're doing it this way. You're not getting any. You're not getting an extra game.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then also,
no, it's ridiculous. So it means TV broadcasters are going to go, What are you idiots? Like, you want to extort us for more money, but what extra product are you giving us? Nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you're not giving us extra product. You're basically alienating Sydney and then leaving the rest, because that's really what it is at the end of the day.
Really.
That's what it is. And if you go back, I mean, I'm just looking at it now. If you go back, just go back 5 years, nine times out of, you know, in five years, all the teams have nearly been, if they're going to spread it like this, all the teams have pretty much been in the Queensland Conference. So basically Sydney then gets a leg up. Roosters, don't get me wrong, Roosters are in there as well. But and then he sprinkled a bit of Canberra in there as well, and Penrith last year. But nine, if you look, the Cowboys and Broncos 2015, Sharks and Storm, Storm and Cowboys, Storm and Melbourne, Storm and Canberra, Storm and Penrith. So generally it's always, I suppose if you're looking at it, it's always a Sydney team in there, so to speak.
There's always at least one Sydney team, right? So that means then if you have this Sydney conference, Sydney only conference, then you eliminate the possibility that it's going to be two Sydney teams in a grand final.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, and that's what they don't want. So it's silly. It's perplexing. I'm glad we both don't like it. We don't need to keep talking about it.
Just reading the article, but, you know, and Wayne Bennett comes out, you know, we sort of praised him a little
Bennett
bit there
does about, this
his
all
genius,
the time.
About his genius positional switches, but you know, he's sort of come out and, you know, saying it's a great sales point. America does the Super, but there's just absolutely no comparison to the National Rugby League in Australia to the National Football League in America.
That's exactly right.
There is just absolutely no comparison whatsoever.
That's exactly right. And that's the other thing.
It's ridiculous to even put them in the same sentence in that regard.
Yeah.
So they just get that out of their head straight away, because it's never ever going to be anything like what the NFL is to America. Simply,
it's not even going to be what they're like
population wise. But yeah, he wants to come out and go, oh, you know what I went through playing, you know, when I was coaching the Tigers and we had 60,000 when we played in a preliminary final. That's great. But what happens on the other side of the conference when you've got Canberra playing Melbourne or Canberra playing the Gold Coast?
A new Warrior side.
And you know, the Canberra playing the New Zealand Warriors. Like, you know what I mean? Where are you going to make up your money and crowds with this illusion that they think that every single time they're going to get 60,000 to 70,000 people at preliminary finals and semifinals, they're going to lose out with the other conference?
Yep.
Because if you want to put it at a bigger stadium, then it has to be in Brisbane. And then you're alienating the home fans if Brisbane aren't in semifinal or that finals race.
That's exactly right. I think I don't like that. I mean, that's just a personal thing. I don't like the game of AFL. But let's look at the AFL. They've got their 1 to 16 or 18 teams, I think it is.
Okay.
That's not broken up at all. They have that Melbourne.
There's a hell of a lot more teams in Melbourne. Yeah, there'd be more than nine teams in Melbourne than what there
you're
is.
You're right, and I agree with that. I agree with that. But what I'm getting at is they've promoted no in Melbourne of everything I've seen with the AFL. In Melbourne, a lot of those teams, and I'm not saying it's like soccer where you just hate the other team, but they promote that into rivalry in Melbourne. Yeah, that doesn't happen in Sydney. That's why they don't get crowds.
That's right. So, yeah, that's right. But why does it only have to be Sydney teams that hate each other?
No, well, you know,
can
I know.
Do you know what I mean? Like that's
I think it's ridiculous. I'm just saying.
That's just looking at things with one eye open.
I'm just saying they're looking at, like, it looks, if I just re-skimming through that, that means all they're looking at there is, to me, they're just looking after Sydney teams. That's all I took from.
Of course they are.
And trying to capture what's, you know, getting Sydney crowds. And it's just not going to happen.
And they, don't have to get on planes then. And then every time, the only two teams in the other conference, then really, that won't have to get on planes to go and travel to the games is Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's silly. I hope they don't do it. That's it. I'm exactly with you.
We've just gone through a pandemic where, you know, the world's money and everybody's screaming and clawing and scratching to get money. Rugby league, it's you know, let's be honest. It's not the craziest profitable game that's out there. Why are we going out there and looking at expansion?
Yeah, that's exactly
diluting
right.
Diluting the product. Because that's all that's going to happen. If you bring in two teams, that's 60 more first graders you've got to try and find.
My thing is they need to go back to and AFL, I don't know if in towns, but are doing it here. They need to go back to exactly what they were doing in the first place and put all their money into grassroots, because then all the kids will like rugby league again. And then all the kids, this heartlands like North Queensland and that, don't get me wrong, but they'll put all the money into these other places. They'll go in Sydney, your Wagga and all that. I see AFL going out there.
You know, outback Western New South Wales.
That's what they're not doing.
They're just not doing it enough, I don't think.
Not compared to AFL of what I've seen. I see more AFL everywhere that I've been compared to, like, you know, I'm talking rural than I have with NRL. Except for here, it's heartland. It's completely different. Yeah. But you still see it with the kids.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, exactly. They play it.
You'd see it probably more at schools.
Yeah, no, they play it.
With one of our mates.
Soccer's big up here too, and, you know, footy.
Really?
Both footy codes. Soccer's always big up here.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I mean, for a juniors, but yeah. I mean,
I'm talking junior wise. I'm talking junior wise.
Yeah.
Junior soccer's massive.
Well, that was yes, a nice, delightful finish for our
Anzac
pod. It was a mild start. Don't forget, you can follow us on our socials, Twitter at Final Play Pod. Facebook, as always, it's very simple. Just literally type in their little search box at the top, Final Play Podcast, where you'll see links up to date the minute. We've got NFL draft coming up, and that's just getting crazy and crazy, the rumors that are flying about that.
I was telling you before, I was very, very poor with my time management this afternoon, but I did happen to manage sort of catch a little bit of an NFL live special. It's just sort of doing basically the first two rounds of the draft this year. And, it's lying season. Yeah, there's teams that are out there that are trying to create massive smoke screens on who they think that they're going to pick. So
well, the art of
deception is crazy over there.
The Falcons we can talk about this all later, but the Falcons are just doing smoke screens by saying Julio Jones could be traded, and they've got the number four. It's not a bad ploy.
If whatever works.
But this is a guy that, you know, I don't know if anyone follows NFL or likes NRL, but this is a guy that of every single year that he's played, every single year has averaged 95 meters. Every year.
He's one of the best receivers that's going around.
Yeah. It's when I say average, like adding up, he has some poor games and then he has some like blowout games. But an average of
95 yards. If you can average that over a season, an average of 95 yards, that's his whole career.
And he's like been in, I can't remember the years, but my God, he's been there a long time. So
been
anyway,
there for a while, Julio Jones.
Yeah, it's the draft's heating up. The smoke screens everywhere. 49ers. Oh, yeah. 49ers are just playing everybody silly buggers.
they're not letting that little cat out of the bag.
No, I mean the only two that it's fun after the first two, because it would have been fun at number two, but that's pretty cut and dry. But after the top two picks, it's gonna start.
I still don't even think it's cut and dry at number two.
Ah, yeah, that's cut and dry. Zach Wilson, that's happening. If the New York Jets do a New York Jets thing and then pick someone else, then they are obscurity for the next 50 years.
Even if it's Justin Fields.
Yes, even if it's Justin Fields, of what I've checked of everything. But yeah, we'll talk about this later. We're stressing the pot out here. Well, my name's Jason Oil. NFL's coming up, so keep your eyes peeled, everyone.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah. So that draft will be up. You can also check us out on Spotify too. So don't forget to check us out on Spotify and give us a like on there or give us a follow on there. So yeah, just sort of plug that. And as always, we're always on Gimco as well, yeah, gimco.com.au. Sure. So yeah, always appreciative of those guys giving us the platform that we have on there. So and yeah, their Facebook page, Eureka Sports Cards. So you can search that in Facebook as well. I guess I'm Miles Smokescreen Plum, so
That is the best one you've said in an extremely long time. I like that. That is perfect. Smokescreen. That's what I'm going to call you now. Or is it just call you or Starscreen after a certain transformer? But anyway. Have a good week, everyone.
Smokescreen.